And that's right. So I want to read something to you, and I want to study something with you tonight. I know I'm supposed to bring a joke, but I don't know anything funny, right? Nothing. I want to read something to you, and then I want you to study with me tonight, being a midweek service. Listen to this carefully. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now we know when we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, only saved people appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody else appears before the great white throne judgment. We all right with that? So all the sheep go to the judgment seat of Christ, and all the goats go to the great white throne. Is that right? And we will give an account since salvation of what we've done in these bodies. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. So while we were in these bodies, according to the done, whether it could be good or bad. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, please. 1 Corinthians 6. Stay right with me. 1 Corinthians 6. Thanks for letting me come while you're turning there. Thanks for your attention. 1 Corinthians 6. Appreciate your pastor. Appreciate the work here. 1 Corinthians 6. You know it, but now with the judgment seat of Christ in mind, look at verse 20. Verse 20. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So, when I got saved and became born again, I also was bought and paid for. And I do not own myself. I don't own this body, and I don't own the spirit inside this body. The Lord owns me. Is that right? And what I'm supposed to do in stewarding over this frail little piece of flesh is to make sure it glorifies God while it's on the face of this earth, because I'm stewarding over what he bought. It's not mine anymore, it's his. Come on, talk to me. It's not mine anymore, it's his. Therefore, he decides, and I try to discern what he decides for me to do with my life. But it all has to glorify him, because that's what I was created for. Revelations, is that right? We're all created as things for his glory, to give him pleasure. So, he owns me, he bought me, he owns you, he bought you, and he decides what you do in your body, and what we're supposed to do is do those things that please him. When we do, it glorifies him. But one of these days, we'll give an account of what we did in these bodies for 20, 30, 40 years after he bought and paid for them. What price did he pay? His own blood. His own death, his own life, his own suffering, his own being smitten of the Father. Come on. That's what he bought us with. Therefore, you can't put a price on what he owns and how valuable we are to him. Come on, is that right? So I'm supposed to glorify him in my body because I'm going to face him, and one of these days I will give an account. I will render to him an explanation for what I did. Accounting, account, is rendering an explanation. So he's going to say, give an account for what you did in your bodies, whether it be a good or bad, and I'm not going to be able to fool him. I may fool you, but I won't fool him. Come on, is that right? We may fool each other, but we won't fool him. And we won't be able to talk him into anything. Come on, is that right? There'll be no debate, bargaining. Well, you didn't know for sure. He knows everything. We can't even go up into heaven at the judgment seat and say, you don't know what it was like to be a human. Because he does know what it was like to be a human. And at all points, he was tempted like we are, yet without sin. We're all right with that. So look at 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. With the judgment seat of Christ in mind, look at verse 13. Verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. It's going to be made known. For the day shall declare it, man's work. Every man's work is going to be made manifest. It's going to be made known. And that day shall declare it. What? Man's work. Because it shall be revealed by what? Everybody say it. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. What sort it is. If any man's work, after it's tried in the fire, abide which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a what? Reward. Speaking about the judgment seat of Christ, would you agree? Talk to me. If any man's work, after it's made manifest, after it's declared, after it's tried by fire, shall be burned, he shall suffer a loss. Yet he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, let me tell you, please look up here. Let me tell you how some people interpret it. Oh, you know, everything, you know, the elements are going to melt, the fervent heat's going to melt, and everything's going to melt back into the grounds. And so all those buildings downtown that people have put money into, and the houses and the homes and the cars and all that, it's all going to be burned. Well, if that be the case, then your work to build that building, it's going to be burned. If that's the case. Oh, you got quiet. All those cars and all those, you know, buildings and all those stuff is all going to be burned. And by the way, they will all melt back into the ground one day. Would you agree? But we need to study just a little bit, because if all that effort you're putting out there and all that money you're putting out there, if all it's going to do is burn up, then why in the world would God lead you to do that? If that's the interpretation of these scriptures. You're thinking, aren't you? I hope you are. Look what it says, please. Every man's work shall be made known, made manifest. For the day shall declare, because fire it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what, say it, sort it is. What sort is it? What's the sort of it? What's is it? Is it? Let me tell you what, give you quickly a concept of the sort. What sort is it? Was it done for vain glory, for self-recognition, for self-acknowledgement? Was the reason for building itself? Self-glory, because that's not what I was bought and paid for to do. Or was it built, and was it labored, and was it given to, because God led to build it, but it wasn't for man's glory, it was for God's use. And in that building, which will melt back into the ground one of these days, there was so much that happened in there that God got a lot of glory. What sort was it? Let's go back over. Look at it again. Stay with me. If any fire shall try every man's of what sort? If any man works which he, or if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon. Now notice what it says. Which he has built thereupon. Go back in context. Look at verse number 10. According to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another builded thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Did you see the word built upon? Built thereupon. So what he says is this. Please look up here. The foundation is Jesus Christ. And everything that's built thereupon is Jesus Christ. And Jesus originates it. And once Jesus originates it, and he's the foundation, he establishes the faith. He gives the direction. We do the work. And if it's built upon what Jesus wants us to build, and it's he originates the project, and he gives to the project, and he supplies to the project, and he gives you to give to the project, and you work at the project, and you use talents at the project, but it's all still built on what God wants and his will, and it's built upon his will, then that work is not in vain. Still with me? People would drive by and go, look at the money they're wasting in that building. What do they need that building for? What, $5 million, $6 million? What do you need that building for? Please look up here. If God originated the plan, and it's built on Jesus Christ, and the plan is God's plan, and you're owned by him, and he puts you to the work, owned your body, your spirit, and you're doing his plan with what he decided for this church to do, then your work is not in vain, and your work of what sort it is will not burn. And you won't suffer loss. The building will burn, but your efforts won't. Come on, are you still with me or not? So the building melts into the ground, but by faith, he originated the plan. You say, why do you say by faith? Because Jesus is the author of all faith. So our faith is built upon his foundation of Jesus Christ, and he's the one that authors our faith to believe. Then he says to the pastor, I want you to build a building. And I want you to lead your congregation to build a building. And we're going to try that later on. We're going to try that work of what sort it is. And because it originated by God's will, and it was for God's glory, if you would, and the building itself was just a tool for his work to go on in. What do you mean? It's just a tool. Brethren, this building is just a tool here. The work that goes on that really gives him glory is the worship and the singing and the people getting saved. Come on, yes or no? And the preaching of God's word. So you're building a bigger tool to be used by God, so you can reach out and do a little bit more and bring a few more people in. And if God's in it and he's originated, all the effort that goes in that building is not going to be burned up. It's going to be laid up. The money you put in is not burn up. The money you put in is laid up as unto the Lord. And you ought to, because he owns you. He bought you. He paid for you. And he says, I want you to build a bigger tool so we can do more on that corner. So if all we're talking about is what sort it is, you know, is it spiritual or is it, you know, just buildings down there? When those buildings downtown melt into the ground, that building will melt into the ground too. But the difference is what went on inside of that building and what happened to build that building will glorify God, and those that had been involved in that, their works won't be burned up so as by fire. Are you still with me or not? You say, how do you know that? Well, let's go back and look at it again. Stay right with me. It says this, verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder. So what are we going to build upon? I have laid the foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ. Another build upon. Well, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Don't build upon your own vainglory. Don't build carnally. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by what, everybody? Fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work thereby which he hath built upon, he will receive a reward. Wait a minute. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Brethren, I want to ask you a question. What kind of fire is that then? Well, go back in verse 7, verse 6. I've planted. What do we plant? The Word of God. Apollos watered. What did he do? He taught the Word of God. He gave, if you would, understanding to the Word of God. But look, God gave the what, everybody? Increase. And unless God gives the increase, that which is planted and that which is watered, both those people are nothing. Verse 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, nor he that watereth, but God that giveth the what? And it's God that gives us the increase and makes it to grow and makes it into something. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Here's the point. If the foundation is right and God's in it, you can't save anybody, nor can I. All we can do is plant the word, water the word, but it's God that has to do the saving, yes or no? Therefore, God gets the glory, yes or no? So everything we do, unless God's in it, it's vain. That building out there is vain unless God's in it. The Mormons build beautiful buildings to false God. It's built by men for men. And it will burn, and every effort that goes into that will suffer loss because there's nothing there. But we don't get a suffering loss because everything we built originates from God. Now, I know this is not that exciting, but I want to say something to you. Every dime and every effort you put into that building, God lays that up, if you would, into heaven, and that will come up at the judgment seat of Christ as a good thing. Do you understand that? Whatever effort you've labored to sacrifice and put a dime in, a dollar in, $100 in, whatever time you come down here and spend moving trash out of the way, hammering boards, putting in this, putting in that, the group's going to come in and put electrical in next. Is that right? But they're not just putting electrical into any building. They're putting electrical into a God-ordained building that he originated. So they're giving their lives now, traveling around, putting electrical in. But it's not just electrical. It's what God ordained into his building, and they're doing it in God's will and helping churches. And don't think their efforts are in vain. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because what they're doing is they're part of the plan. And they're bought and paid for by God. But you know what their talents are? Their talents has got the ability to put electrical in, which saves you a lot of money. But it's not about saving money. Humanly, it's about saving money. But you know what it's about? More people getting involved, where they can give God the glory through the bodies that they have and the spirits that they have and the understanding that they have of how to put electrical in. We call it saving money. And I think we ought to be good stewards over God's money, right? Come on, amen. But look, the truth of the matter is God wants more people to get glory so he can reward them at the judgment seat of Christ. You say, but we're saving money. I know we're saving money so you don't have to pay it. But they get to go out there and participate and be involved. And whatever happens in that building afterwards, that will not be burned up by fire. People getting saved will not be burned up by fire. And their efforts are not in vain. So everything they put into that building out there is not vainglory. And of what sort it is, it's eternal. You still with me or not? Did I lose you already? Because we're going further. Because he originates it. Look at Luke 19. We'll come back here in a moment. Luke 19. In Luke 19, watch the story. And I spoke to you one time about this a little bit at your church. But watch the story. Luke 19. Am I boring you? I hope not. You need to be motivated to finish what God started. You do. You need to finish what God helped you to start. Because the vision for this building came from the Lord. Just like you look at the pictures on the wall, how the vision of one property to another property to this property to that building all built something that God gets glory out of. But each one is a tool. But the original faith to do this came from the Lord, so therefore he put faith in your pastor, which he didn't have of his own, to lead you to build this building. But it's not his faith, it's God's faith. So he originated. Let me show you what I'm talking about. So verse number 12. A certain nobleman, Jesus, went into a far country, this world, to receive for himself the kingdom and return. He calls 10 servants and delivers them what? 10 pounds. Who owns the pounds? The Lord owns the pounds, is that right? Come on, yes or no? Because the Lord later on says the pounds are his when he says this. Look at verse 23. Wherefore then gavest not thou whose money? My money. So he, the Lord, owns the pound. Would you agree with that? And once he gives the pound to the servant, it's still the Lord's pound. And he says, here, I've given you a pound. Build wisely with it. Do something wisely with the pound I gave you because it's still mine. Now that you're bought, now that you're paid for, now that I own your body, now that I own your spirit, do something wise with what I've given you and the opportunities I've given you because I'm coming back and asking you to give an account. So look what he says. So he gave the pound and he left. Verse 15. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called to him. Verse 15 is the judgment seat of Christ. Would you agree with that? Huh? Verse 15, he commands these servants to call unto him who had given the money that he might know, accountability, how much every man had gained by what? So the original pound is still God's. The original vision is still God. The original faith is still God. The original what we're doing is still God. And as long as God is the foundation of it, everything that's built upon that and everything that God gives the increase to gives God the glory because man didn't start it, God did. So man didn't start that building, God did. But you're required to finish it. And you'll give an account of whether you do what you did with his pound. Now the pound is money, the pound is talent, the pound is time, the pound is treasure, the pound is the time you put in out there to volunteer labor and how you pray and what you do and making sure God gets the glory out of it. Because when it's all done, nobody's going to stand up and say, look what we built. This is not the Tower of Babel. Come on, are you with me? The Tower of Babel was built by man to reach up into heaven so they could become gods. Well, isn't that what the Mormon churches are for? Talk to me. Don't they believe they're aspiring to be gods? So every time you see a Mormon temple in the big grandiose, you got them around here? We got a big one down there in San Diego. It's white with the little false guy with the horn on top, Moroni. All that is the Tower of Babel so they can become gods. And that will all burn, and everything that happened inside of it will burn. Because it wasn't built on the foundation of God, yes or no? So you're not building the Tower of Babel to your own glory. This is not Esposito's tower. It's not his great faith. It's the great God that caused him to understand what he wanted him to do. And has nothing to do with his great faith. Get off this thing that anybody has great faith. Oh, his great faith. Come on, what are you talking about? We fell into it, man. We stumbled upon it. That's true. I mean, we stand and say, oh, Brother Esposito, and on the dedication, oh, his great faith. Man, he stumbled into this thing and started with a tarp. He's still amazed of where this thing is at right now. I remember when he got this building. He couldn't believe it. This was the Taj Mahal, man. At the time. And now, look, you now know what it is now? It's too small. But at the time when you moved in, man, I remember coming in and going, oh, God gave us a building. Glory to God. Now you know what we think? The platform's way too small now. It wasn't when you moved in. It was a platform. It was great. And this was good, and then we opened up this, then you opened up that, you know. And by the way, at one time you were thinking about tearing all this down and building something right here. Glad you didn't do that. But it was a good thought at the time. How in the world did you get permission to build that big a building in the middle of this town? Tell me how you did that. The truth of the matter is you didn't do it. How in the world? Look up here. How in the world? I got to watch because the people over there are watching the monitor. I'm thinking, look up here, and they are. They're looking right at me, aren't you, over there? I got to get used to that, amen? But the truth of the matter is, you didn't cause. Oh, you say, but we prayed. According to God's will, led of the Spirit, you prayed. But who originated the prayer? The Lord did. So all we did was follow along. You know what that makes us? Nothing. He that planteth, he that waters. We're still nothing. And if you think you're anything above nothing, get back in your book. Because when this is all done, name it whatever you want. Do the dedication, do all that. But it's still God for his glory. Because there's no way that should have went up out there. The city should have never allowed it. I know all about the dirt stuff and how that came and how you walked in the city and what happened with all that. Man, I've been following along closely. Thank you. But I don't think for a minute Esposito did anything. Well, I know you honor him as your pastor, and don't say that about him. You know, don't call him that. Esposito, Esposito, Esposito. He's my friend, and we're loners, amen? What do you mind me calling him, doctor? Are you a doctor? You have a title? Come on, you do? You don't wear it, do you? Okay, I'm not buying it. I'll honor him more than just calling him doctor. I'll call him brother. I'll call him Brother Esposito. On my phone, it's not Dr. Esposito, it's Brother Esposito. That's in the Bible, amen? So when this is all said and done, I just know he fell into it. Because we've fallen into it. We own a big building. We want to build. We're doing renovations. We've done 10 years, 11 years now. We put $1.75 million into renovations. And we got about $1.5 million more to go. You know what that makes me? Zippo. Nothing. Because if I think I did anything of what sort it is, I'll suffer loss. If I did it for my own glory, God can see that. So the origination of the pound to these servants is this. I bought you, I paid for you, servants. Now I'm going to give you something to use and build. Here's a pound. It's my pound, but I'll give you the opportunity to use it. And I'll be back later to ask you what you did with it. Not like I don't know. But I'll command you to come before me and give an account. And the reason I'm doing this is not to find reasons that you suffer loss. I would like to reward you. Do you understand? He wants to reward his children. He wants us to rule and reign with him. Come on, yes or no? He wants to reward us. Don't you want to reward your children for doing right? Of course you do. How much more God in heaven? So he leaves the pound and he says, occupy till I come. Then he's going to come back and see how much, verse 15, look at it, the judgment seat of Christ. Know how much every man has gained by trading. Comes back, first one, well done. 10 cities, understand millennium. Comes back, second one, well done. 5 cities, well done. Comes back, verse 20. Lord, here's thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. You know what that means? He did nothing with it. Wait a minute. I gave you that pound to glorify me. What'd you do with it? I hid it away, and I kept it. And right here it is. What'd you do with it? Nothing. I gave it to you to glorify me. Why'd you do nothing with it? Take that from him. He suffered loss because he did nothing with what God gave him. Yes or no? Take that from him and give it to somebody that's doing something. Take that 1 pound that I gave him that he did nothing with and give it to the one who gained 10 pounds. But Lord, he has 10 pounds. I know. I want to give it to somebody else who's going to use it and counts it valuable. Because this guy didn't know how to build upon the foundation which I gave him. And then it says this. Look what it says. Verse 21. For I feared thee, because thou art an what? Austere. So when we see Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to be austere, and I've already taught that to you before. What does austere mean? Strict, stern, unwavering, unbending. Strict, stern, firm. Oh, I'll just get up there and ask for his grace. Strict, stern, firm. Grace has already saved us. We're already saved. Judgment seat of Christ, everybody that goes in saved and comes out saved. Yes or no? But some go into the judgment seat of Christ saved and get gain, and some go into the judgment seat of Christ saved and suffer loss, but they're still saved. You say, well, what do they gain? What do they gain in eternity? I'm not going to show that to you tonight. Oh, I think I know. I'm not being vain about that. I think I know. And it's not human stuff. He's not going to give us human stuff. Look, the concept that you go to heaven and the reward is you married 900 wives is ridiculous. Why would I want 900 wives, and why would a wife want a husband that has 899 other wives? That is so humanly stupid. It's all based on humanity. It's so stupid. It's laughable when you read the Bible. Oh, you know, I'll go kill myself, martyr myself, and God will give me more wives in heaven. How stupid, how ridiculous. You think God's going to lower himself to human terms? That is as stupid can be. It's about as bad as building a monument and being gods themselves. So you can't think of rewards in human terms. We know the millennium for sure is cities. But past the millennium, what is it? When God sets up his rule and reign on this earth, we know we'll rule and reign with him, and he'll give us charge of cities. But what is it past the millennium, when this earth no longer is? I'm going to give you that as homework. You ought to study and find out. So after we die and we come back and rule and reign with him on the earth for 1,000 years, is that right? Do you believe that? I believe that. Well, there's going to be rulership over cities. But after the earth burns up, then what? He's going to burn the earth, right? There's rewards after that. So this life is a big test after we're saved. After we're saved, this life for us is a proving ground. And if we're faithful in the little, he said, don't worry, I'll give you the true riches. Just think about this. You got to be in a church that's doing something. Just think about that. You know how many people are in dead churches? Saved and doing nothing? arguing over the color of the carpet that they've had for 50 years. No building plans, no operations outreach, no buses, no mission sending. Just dead, man. Do you know how many churches are like that? And you get to be in a church that's doing something. Missions. The children just came up and invested in eternity. The widow's mites were put in. And they just invested in eternity, building upon a foundation of Jesus Christ. Come on, yes or no? And you're in a church doing something. And people complain, oh, we're doing too much. In heaven, when we get to heaven, you won't say, oh, we just did too much down there. You know what? We just did too much, preacher. You just had too much God had given you to do. What a ridiculous statement. You know what we'll think? Wish we would have done more. I'd rather be busy. Yesterday, I was in Nova Scotia preaching. Prince Edward Island. Ladies, you know Anna Green Gables? That's where I was at. There's a guy starting a church there. Right near where Anna Green Gables was. And he drove in to the meeting. We were in Moncton. And it was 2 degrees, minus two. And we were having a men's meeting. Flew back in yesterday, up here tonight. Why? Redeeming the time. Making full use of this 58-year-old body, which is not mine. The spirit, which is not mine. Hoping to glorify God in preaching just a little bit. Motivating you to understand so you can keep going. Not that my motivation is anything, but if the Holy Spirit gives you something from His Word tonight and builds your faith to keep going and realizing that building out there, even though it will melt, the work that went into that building will not be burned. Because the sort of work it was built on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ giving you the pound. And you took the pound and used it. And you got gain. And that can't be burned. And what sort it is, it wasn't for vainglory. This is not to lift up Dr. Esposito. That doesn't even sound right to me. It's not lifting up Brother Esposito. He's been honest with you. Oh, but he's a great pastor. Yeah, he is. I'm okay with that. But he won't let that go to his head. Believe me. Well, let's stand up and clap for him. Okay, good. Now you're done. Sit down. Let's get to busy. Thank you for the honor. Now sit down. Let's get busy studying the Word because that's more important than clapping. I'm okay for clapping. Honor to home honors due and all that stuff. I got it. But on my end, sit down, man. Let's go to work. Let's look at the pound. Let's look at the foundation. Let's look at how we're building. Let's look at the judgment seat of Christ. And let's finish what God has given us to do so He gets glory out of that thing. So how does he get glory? Do you know what's going to be great? City officials will come to church. What? On the dedication. There will be city officials come to church out of curiosity and to get the votes. Yes or no? They will come out of curiosity and they will want to show there and take a picture and and get some votes. But if while they come to get votes, if they hear the gospel and get saved, then glory gets put on the building because somebody gets saved and glorifies God. And even though they came to get the votes and be seen and take the pictures, if they get saved, that's more important than anything. And they may not get saved that day, but the seed might be planted. Or it might be watered. Or God may give the increase. Now you say, just city officials? All kinds of people are going to come. Neighbors who opposed you are going to come. They're going to come out of curiosity. Let's go see this building that, you know, they put up in our neighborhood. Let's go see what's going on in there. They'll slip in. Even if they opposed you, they'll slip in. They just won't fill out a visitor's card. Come on, yes or no? They're going to slip in out of curiosity to see it. They might even slip in skeptically. Doesn't matter how they come, as long as they come. Or what if they come to spy on us, to write about us? As long as they hear the gospel, who cares? Because it's the power of God that can grab a hold of their heart and grip them at 3 o'clock in the morning. Or they came in to write something, an article, and say something negative and all that. Fine, come in, man. Get the gospel inside of them and let the Holy Spirit wake them up at 3 in the morning and rattle their soul. That stuff happens. So I think it's wonderful. You got to finish. August 25th, right? Come on, bond program. Come on. More builders coming in. How are we doing on the pledges? You getting there? Come on, I'm just saying, how are you doing on your pledges? Don't lay it up in a napkin, man. You say, well, wait a minute. How do you know? Whatever you pledged, I hope you did it by faith, and you're a wise master builder, and you build it on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And what he says is, don't vow a vow and defer to pay it. Because you missed opportunity and laid it up in a napkin. Look, I'm all for new cars, new houses, and all that, but not at the expense of a vow. I'm all for vacations. Did you hear what I said? Vacations, new cars, homes, whatever. You know, going to sports events, going shopping. I'm all for all that, okay? But not at the expense of a vow. Keep that vow. And I'm not scolding you. I'm saying keeping that vow. Because that vow is for eternity. And that vow will not be burned if you keep it. Well, you said, I overpledged. Still pay it. But I overpledged. I don't care if it takes you 10 years. Pay it. Because you wrote it down. It came out of your mouth. Not as unto pastor, as unto the Lord. I hope the vows, you know, I hear people say, well, we had this much pledged and 80% came in. It wasn't that great. I'm thinking that's not great at all. That's 20% that didn't come in that people lied. Yes or no? And it's not our fault. We motivate, we encourage, we remind, but we can't come and shake your, you know, money loose. But we're saddened when 20% don't make their pledge. Why? Because at the judgment seat of Christ is going to face them. You say, well, that's 20% we didn't have. Are you kidding? God will provide that through somebody else and get a blessing. Take the one from the one who did nothing with it and give it to the one who had 10. Hey, we'll get the job done. It's just a matter of who gets blessed because of it. So if I were you, I'd be glad to be in a church that's doing something with the judgment seat of Christ in mind, knowing that you're going to face an austere Savior, if you would, who will be strict and stern and firm in his judgment. Now watch what it says. Verse 22, and he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee. What's he called? Verse 22, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou what? Wicked. What? You're still my servant, but you're a wicked servant. You don't want to face the judgment seat of Christ and come out a wicked servant. Is this talking about the judgment seat of Christ or not? Come on, talk to me. So some are going to stand before God, Jesus, at the judgment seat of Christ, and Jesus is going to probably claim them and call them and label them as wicked servant. You're still my servant. You're still saved. But you're wicked because you were carnal and selfish and did nothing with what I gave you to do and the opportunities I gave you, and that to me is wicked. But you're still my servant. Do I have that right? Why wouldn't I want to get on an airplane and go to Nova Scotia and preach if he called me to do it? Why wouldn't I want to drive up here, preach to the college tomorrow? It's not for vainglory. It's not for recognition. I could care less what you think about me. Oh, I like to be liked as a human, But right now, as a speaker, I don't care what you think about me as long as you get his word. Whatever you're thinking about me in my mind, in your mind right now, you're wasting your time thinking about me. You ought to be thinking about what I'm talking about. Well, but you're not. Your delivery is terrible. Okay, Mr. Homiletics Expert. We don't care what you think about that. Because I'm more interested in you getting the truth. If you get the truth and you go out of here and that shakes you, it doesn't matter what you think of me. I just want you to know I'm not thinking bad about you. And by the way, most of you aren't thinking about me right now. You're thinking about judgment seat. Pound. Hey, work party coming up? When? Monday. Is that a holiday? No. Last Monday was a holiday. Good. So Monday's a work day. So wonderful time to lay up. Not lay down. Lay up. You say, I can't do anything. I can't carry anything. Come out and root on the guys that can. Carry that board. Carry that board. Carry that board. Carry that board. Put that electricity in there. Put that wire in there. Put that, go, go, go. You know, root them on. Huh? Ladies can come out too. What do they do? Everything? Clean. Good. Ladies, clean, clean, clean. Clean, clean, clean. I'm serious. If you can't do anything else, be out here and root everybody else on, man. Have a part in it in some way. When I get older, I'm serious. When I get older and I can't do a whole lot of stuff, I just put me out there in a wheelchair and I'll go, come on, ladies, clean. Keep going. Let me pray for you, clean. Because I want to be a part of something. I don't want to be dead weight. And your children, letting them see this. You know how valuable that is for them to see a church working together? Do you know how valuable that is? You know how many children grow up in dead churches where they argue about nothing? I'm sure you guys got conflict around here, but at least it's about something valuable. Don't tell me there's no arguments going on in your church, but at least if you argue, it's because you're doing something. Now, we don't want the children to hear that. I'd rather see them out there, you know, hey, look at that guy, you know, boy, wait, cut that wire. Here, carry that wire over there, son. You know, give that over to here. And just get them, I know they got a hard hat and they can't be around everything. I got it, I understand. But just to observe for them to watch that go up and see that and watch missionaries go out, do you know what that's doing to their mind and their conscience and their heart and their soul? Man, fantastic. So, go back to 1 Corinthians 3. I'm watching your time tonight. You don't own your time anyway, so come on. 1 Corinthians 3, watch it now and go through it with me. 1 Corinthians 3, read it through with me, and then I think we'll be about done. You say, you didn't give us anything. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You say, what did you give us? Oh, it'll come to you at 4 or 5 in the morning. That's what I like. That's when the preaching gets real good. It is. It's when you're sitting there going, I didn't get anything out of that. And then about, 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, you'll be driving, and the Lord will say, I'm austere to you. I've already been the Lamb of God. I've already taken your sins away. I've already done that. To you, I'm the captain of your salvation. To you, saved man, saved woman, I'm already the loving Savior. I'm already all those things. But I want you to know, when you see me, first of all, I will be austere, strict, stern. Use your time down there wisely, which is actually my time I bought and paid for you. Give me glory while you're down there. And I'm still giving you more time and more opportunity. Don't waste it. You don't have much left. I'm 58. Most of the male folk in my family die by the time they're 75. If I make it to 75 in my family, I'm doing well. We got heart problems and all kinds of stuff. It's congenital, you know. So 58 to 75, do the math. How much time I got? How much? Come on, 58, 75. 17, is that right? I got 17 years left. When you're at my age, you know how long 17 years is? There's 10. It's going quick. So I got to redeem the time. And I'm in my best years. These are my best years, man. But you turn around, life can be shorter. So I want to get all I can. Do all I can. I'm not good at pounding nails, but I'm good at motivating others to do pounding nails. I'm not good at pounding nails. I can carry nails. I'm good at carrying nails. I can pick up nails that other people bent. I can clean up. I'm pretty good at that. So look at this. Watch what it says. Follow with me. Verse 6. Now follow with me. I've planted, Apollos water, but God gives the increase. And what the emphasis is God at the bottom. God is the foundation. God gives the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. That makes us nothing, but God that giveth the increase. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own what? Reward according to his own what? Wait a minute. Now, watch verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. So as we labor together with God, as we walk with God, as we co-labor with God, ye are God's husbandry, sheep. Ye are God's building. He bought us and paid for us. This building is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? So you're God's husbandry, which means we're the sheep. Is that right? Husbandry, the sheep of his pastor. And ye are God's building. A husbandry is also like a foundational thing. And ye are God's building, so I'm the temple. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man, you better take heed, you better be careful how you build thereupon. Because the foundation, the only foundation that can no man lay, than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the creator, he's the author, he's the finisher of faith. He authors faith, he finishes it, he gives the gifts, he gives the pounds, he makes the pounds increase. He's the one that does everything. But we have to be careful how we build thereupon. If any man build upon foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Everybody's work's going to be made known. If we labor together with God, then it'll be made known as profitable, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Did it come from God? Did it give God glory? Or was it just for vainglory? If any man's work abide, which he has built up thereupon, what are we supposed to build thereupon? The foundation, which is Jesus Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He gives the vision. He gives the wherewithal. He shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he did it for himself. He did it for his own vainglory. He laid it up in a napkin. He didn't do it at all. He wasted his time. He shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, the building, and that ye, the Spirit of God, dwelleth in you? And he goes on down into another dissertation. Did you get that tonight? Did I get that all kind of right? So here's the message tonight. The building out there is for his glory. Everything you've put into it, time, labor, effort, prayer, fundraisers, all the rest of it, that will all be things laid up which nobody can take from you, even when that building melts. Because the building is important and the labor you put into it, because God sees effort. God sees the effort. And then also what goes on inside of the building will give him great glory. But he will reward the effort that's put in to build that, because it's his will, not yours. He originated the vision for that building. He put the people together. He gave the permits. He gave the permission. He moved upon the hearts of the council to vote it in. He put those that opposed to it to rest. He's raising it up so he can get glory and you get to be a part of it. Now, to me, if Monday's a work day, I'd come down and give an hour of your time, which is not your time anyways. It's his time that he's given you. So, no, that's my time. That breath that you just took is because of his grace. Because we could all have a heart attack right now and be gone. So if I were you, if I have the wherewithal, I would give an hour of your time, which is his time. And all we're doing is giving back that which is his anyways. David said that, right? So I'd give a little hour. And I would be very kind to the electrician people coming in. Whatever it is that Pastor asked you to do to them and for them, I would do it. Because you're doing it as unto the Lord. And it all works together for good. So did you get this little thought? I'll go away tonight and I'll go to my hotel room and I'll go, I could have preached a better message tonight. And the Lord will say, you read enough scripture, I'll take care of the rest. You showed him enough scripture, let me give the increase. Don't worry about how you did. Because you're nothing anyway. It's me that gives the increase. So with the judgment seat of Christ in mind, I exhort you, finish what God has given you. Finish what God has given you to do and glory in it. Preacher, you come.